Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Lord, what about this man? What about John? What about James? What about Bartholomew? What about Thaddeus? What about James the Less? What about them, Lord? Peter, you're asking the wrong question. I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me by way of introduction to the book of Mark to chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, I'd like for us to begin our study around verse 30. When you get to Mark chapter 9 and verse 30, the time of the year is approximately late summer. It is the end of summer before the Lord will be crucified the next spring. Our Lord has gone to the area of Galilee, and He has begun to explain to His disciples, according to verse 30 and 31, that He would soon die in Jerusalem. If you read Luke's account, Luke will make it clear in Luke chapter 9 that they did not grasp, they did not understand, they did not comprehend what the Lord was saying to them. But you get here to Mark chapter 9, I want to pick up with verse 33 as we read together. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last and servant of all." I want you to notice, while our Lord is trying to tell His disciples the things that are going to soon come to pass, they are not focused on the Lord. They're focused on themselves. They're focused on, who am I in the midst of my brethren? For Peter, it would be, I'm greater than James and John. I'm greater than the other apostles. For James and John, it would be, we want to be the positions greater than them. I want you to fast forward with me in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 10. Several months pass from Mark 9 to Mark 10. If you will, go to about verse 32. And as you arrive at Mark chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus is now ready to enter the city of Jericho. The time is, it's just a few days before He will be crucified in Bethphage and then eventually into Jerusalem. But notice with me verses 32 through 34. Now they were going on the road, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. Then He took the 12 aside and began to tell them the things that would happen to Him. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and deliver Him to the Gentiles. And they will mock Him and scourge Him and spit on Him and kill Him. And the third day He will rise again." I want you to observe same kind of context that happened at Galilee, but now this is Jericho. I want you to see that while the Lord is trying to focus their attention on the role and on the mission, they are focusing their attention in a different direction. Pick up with me in verse 35. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Him saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' And He said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' Then they said to Him, 'Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory.' But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am going to drink?' And then he goes on to say to them, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. They said unto him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And the baptism I am baptized with, you shall be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left is not mine to give, but for those to whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. I think you can understand why. They're all in this competition to see who is the greatest. Now I want you to fast forward with me again, this time to Luke chapter 22 and verse 24. Luke chapter 22 and verse 24. The time now draws very near to the Lord's crucifixion and death. In fact, this is the night in which the Lord will be betrayed. This is the night when they are gathered together in the upper room and they're going to celebrate the Last Supper. They're going to participate in what we call the Lord's Supper. I can tell you, according to John chapter 13 and verse 21, the Lord was troubled in spirit. And you can understand why. He knows less than 24 hours he will have his hands and his feet nailed to a cross. He knows he will be scourged. He knows how he will be treated. And here's what's going on, according to Luke 22, verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those who are exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am as one among you who serves. I think if you are careful in your study of the Bible and comparing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is at this point that the Lord arises, takes off his robe, girds himself with a towel, and gets down and starts to wash the disciples' feet. Now, I don't know how that strikes you, but it makes cold chills to run over me to think, here is the Lord, deeply disturbed, greatly agonizing over the mission that he has to fulfill. And the disciples here the third time in less than a year have to be publicly rebuked for being more concerned about their own position and their own place. Now, I want to take that big picture now and I want to focus it. I want to focus it for just a moment on the Apostle Peter. And I want you to go with me, if you will, now to Luke chapter 24, or 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Same context, same place. And now the Lord is going to look at Peter specifically and say to him, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now listen carefully, verse 33. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said to Peter, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before you have denied three times that you know me. Now, you don't have to turn to it. You can if you want to. Matthew 26, verse 33. Because here is going to be Matthew's fuller account of what Peter says. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, yet I will never be made to stumble. I want you to see the picture here of the 12 apostles. How they are vying for supremacy. How they are saying, look at me, I am the greatest. And Peter makes this statement. You see the rest of these guys, you see James, John, Philip, Matthew, Bartholomew. You see all those fellows? Lord, they may turn on you. They may betray you, but I won't. I will go with you all the way to prison. I will go with you all the way to death. And the Lord said, Peter, you will not. Peter, you will betray me. Now, for the purpose of this lesson, I want you to go back with me now to John chapter 21 and verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15. Because we have gone from the larger to the smaller, we've focused on Peter, we've seen what Peter has said, and now I want to begin with verse 15 of John 21. You now have the Lord having been crucified, buried, and rose again. He is now meeting with the apostles at Galilee. They've had breakfast. And so the text tells us in verse 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Peter was humiliated. Peter was embarrassed because Peter had not lived up to what he said he would do. And here Peter is having to answer for himself. Do you really love me? So then the Lord tells Peter more information about his future. I want you to notice with me just verses 18 and 19 for this moment here. Most assuredly, I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself, you walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, follow me. The Lord saying, Peter, you're going to live to be an old man. How do I know this? Because he said, you're going to get to a point where you're not going to be able to gird yourself anymore. You're going to have help to be able to put your clothes on. Then he says something that it would be easy for us to miss in our culture and our language. He said, you will stretch out your hands. For us, we may think, well, you stretch out your arms and someone puts your clothes on for you. But John goes on to explain here in verse 19, he said this, signifying by what death. To say that a man would stretch out his hands means that he would stretch them out and be crucified. And tradition tells us that Peter was crucified. In fact, tradition says that he didn't want to embarrass the Lord, so he asked to be crucified hanging upside down. But then the Lord ends that statement with a phrase, follow me. I think there's a question that comes to my mind here. Why does Peter turn then and look at John and tell the Lord or ask the Lord, but Lord, what about this man? What about John? Well, John was one of the inner three, along with Peter and James. They were with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17. They were with the Lord when He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. These were the three closest men to the Lord. So you'd understand why He would ask that. I think when you look at the text, John also refers back to his being at the Lord's side at the Passover meal. And when you go to John chapter 13, it was Peter who motioned to John to say, when the Lord had said He was going to betray Him, who is it? Ask the Lord who it is. You see, their minds was, I know it's not me, who's going to do it? What about John? What's going to happen to him? How's he going to die? What's going to happen to the others? The Lord's response to Peter was very terse, very to the point. What is that to you? Follow me. That introduction is to introduce us to what I believe is a very important subject for all of us. Two things the Lord says, what is that to you, and follow me. My first point is going to be, is why are we obsessed with others and not with ourselves? And then number two will be to look at what it means for us to follow the Lord. Now let's be honest with ourselves. Frequently we find ourselves obsessed, and that's the word correctly chosen. We find ourselves obsessed with the sins and with the successes of other people. Now, when I say we're obsessed with other people, I don't mean we're obsessed with their needs, because most of the time we are not obsessed with their needs. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, the Lord says, we're not look each of us to our own things, but to the things of others. And when He's talking about the things of others, He's talking about their needs. Like James chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, where He says, if you see a brother or sister destitute and naked and they are in need, and you say to them, be warmed and filled, and you don't give them what is needful for the body, He said, what is it profited? You've not helped anything. We look at people many times and we don't look and see their needs. But what we do is we look and see people as it relates to us. In preparing for this lesson, it surprised me how often we look at other people in the wrong way. I want to give you several examples this morning in our lesson. Number one, if you want to go with me to Luke chapter 16, a very familiar passage, you know it very well, about the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible tells us that the rich man fared sumptuously every day. That is, he had plenty to eat, nice clothes, nice place to live. The Bible tells us that Lazarus was laid at his gate, the dogs licked his sores, and all he wanted was just the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. For Lazarus, it was once. What did the rich man see in Lazarus? Evidently, he didn't take much notice of him at all. But drop down with me to verse 24. Then he cried. That's the rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and listen carefully, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue, or cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. How did the rich man look at Lazarus even when he was in torments and Lazarus was in paradise? He looked at him as a servant. Father Abraham, you send Lazarus. Let him do it. He didn't look at him as a person now blessed and he suffering. He looked at him as somebody to serve him. Our problem is that we look at other people and it appears that all we're interested in is judging their motives and judging their actions and being ready to render a verdict upon them. In Matthew 7, beginning with verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and behold, a plank is in your own eye? The problem is that what we do is we want to focus on the sins of other people. You don't believe this is true? Another example. John chapter 8. The Lord has a woman brought to Him who was taken in adultery in the very act itself. They wanted to have her stoned. In fact, they reminded the Lord that the law required her to be stoned. And they wanted to know what He said to do. The Lord knew their thoughts. And so here's the way He responded to them in John chapter 8, verse 7. So when they continued asking Him, He raised Himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw the stone at her first. And He again stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those that heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the oldest, until the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman in His midst. Now what you have here is the fact that when we're confronted with our own failures, is when we look at them. You see, those people, what they were wanting to do was concentrate on the woman taken in adultery. But the Lord said, no, look at yourself. David, in the Old Testament, was visited by Nathan the prophet. And Nathan gave David an account of a poor little old man had one ewe lamb, treated it just like it was one of his children. And what happened, here's this rich man, has visitors come, and he goes, rather than taking of his immense flock, he goes and takes that man's one little ewe lamb, kills it, to offer it to his visitors. And David's conclusion is, a man like that ought to die. And then Nathan says, David, you are the man. And now David starts begging for mercy. You see, in our eyes, we look at other people with the sharp, harsh, critical eye that says, let them suffer for their sins. And then when it's reflected, that's who we are, then we begin to beg for mercy. In Romans 14, verse 4, Paul wrote, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. But it's not just looking at other people's sins, but it's seeing their successes as well. When we look and we see people do well, how do we respond to that? We say, oh wow, they're doing well and I'm jealous, I'm envious of that. A few illustrations from it. Acts chapter 7, verse 9. When Stephen is recounting the history of Israel, and he looks back to the sons of Jacob, he says about them, and the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Why did those boys hate Joseph so badly? He was successful. He was doing well. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, Cain and Abel. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted to God. Abel's was. Cain didn't say, well, if I'll do well, I can be accepted too. In fact, that's what Genesis 4, 7 says. If you do well, will you not be accepted? But what he did was to kill his brother Abel. So many people are worried that they're not going to get the credit, the recognition. Their name's not going to be read from the pulpit. They're not going to receive the honor, the glory. And they look at their brother with jealousy and say, he got attention and I did not. When we do this, we're just like the elder brother of Luke chapter 15. You remember after the prodigal son came home, the father had put shoes on his feet, a robe on his back, a ring on his hand, had killed the fatted calf, and they had a party in honor of the son's return. The Bible tells us the elder brother would not even go in. And here's what it says in verse 28. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered to his father, lo, these many years I have served you, and I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And thou, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you've killed the fatted calf for him. You see, you look at them and say, oh, look how well he has done. Very quickly. The second thing that the Lord told Peter is, you follow me. Instead of being so worried about John, Peter, you follow me. Peter had learned, you don't just say it, you do it. It's very easy to say, who's going to follow the Lord? I will. I'm going to line up. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Did you hear that? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. It's more than just talking about it. When James and John had asked for those positions of honor, Jesus said, are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism I will be baptized with? They said, we're able. Really? Do you know what that means, James? That means in Acts chapter 12, Herod's going to have you killed. John, do you realize that in your old age, that you'll be banished to the isle called Patmos as an old man there? Peter had concerned himself with everybody else, but he needed to focus on his job. I want to just very quickly review verses 15 through 17 with you because they focus on Peter's responsibility. He said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Tend my lambs. In previous lessons, I've made the emphasis on the difference in the word love. I'm not going to do that this lesson because of time. I do want to draw a distinction about what the Lord says here. Tend my lambs. The lambs are the little ones. The disciples had often thought the little ones were not important. In fact, it's interesting. And they're talking about how great they were. Matthew 18, Jesus brings a little child. He said, you want to be great? Be like this little child. Mark chapter 10, same context. They brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. The Lord said, you know what's important? These little children. Do you know what I believe has helped the congregation here greatly? Is it because our elders have seen fit to provide for the instruction and the encouragement of our young people? Brother Steve Hillis, Brother Tyler Board have done a marvelous job in guiding and directing these young people. Feed my lambs. Second thing he says to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Feed or tend my sheep. Then the third time, feed my sheep. Shepherd them. Provide them food. Guide them. Direct them. You follow the Lord, you're not going to be a person who's constantly saying, is it about me? Is it about me? No, it's about helping others and correcting myself. We often read Galatians 6 about a person overtaken in a fault, but we rarely read the rest of the context. Verses 3 through 5 says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Peter, you've got a job to do. How many of us are more worried about other people's sins and successes than our own? In fact, we find ourselves so focused on other people. What about John? What about James? What about Thaddeus? That we forget that we have to serve the Lord ourselves. And then we've got to realize that we've got a job to do. If you will, get your song books out and open to the song of invitation. If during this lesson you've been thinking about, I know who he is preaching that lesson to. Wish they was here today. Or I bet I know who he's talking about. Then you've missed the point. This lesson's about me. This lesson's about you. This is about each of us looking at ourselves. And just like the Lord tried to get Peter to do, but Lord, what about him? What is that to you? You follow me. Are you ready to follow the Lord this morning? We're going to sing this invitation song. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to respond by being baptized.